Today's shiur is Masechta Rabba Basra, Daf Lamed Tes. We will begin on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. So begins the Gemara, Heichi Dami Mecha. Exactly, we've been learning from the beginning of this perek, the concept of a Mecha, that if somebody is on my property, I'm supposed to be Mecha before he could get a Chazakah. And the Gemara wants to know, how is a Mecha accomplished? What are the words, proper way, what are the proper way of saying Mecha? Om Rav Zvid, to which Rav Zvid responds, saying, Ployna Gazlanahu, just saying that this person who's on my property is a Gazlan, he's on it improperly, Loi Hava Mecha, is not a valid way of establishing a Mecha. Because, as the Rishonim explained, what the person against whom the Mecha is being said could say that all this person intended to do was to speak negatively about me and say that I am a Gazlan, that I am somebody who takes something that's not mine. But it doesn't represent that he's saying that I am on this property illegally. And as we go back to the beginning of the Perek, the purpose of the Mecha is to establish that this person should be on guard to watch his shtar. This person doesn't have reason now to watch his shtar anymore, because he's saying the fact that this person, that the original owner, the Marakama, is leveling accusation against me, that I am a Gazlan, that doesn't create a situation that I have to watch my shtar. However, if he said plana gazlanahu, this person is a gazlan, the noked le arab gazlanusa, he adds to the statement. He doesn't just accuse him of being a gazlan, but he's saying that his presence on my field is because he's a gazlan. Then the halacha is that is considered a proper mecha. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim that is it enough for the person who's making the mecha, for the person who's issuing the protest, just to say, Nokad Leil Arab Gazlanusa, this person stole my property? Or does he also have to say that the person is a Gazlan? Some Rishonim say, as long as he speaks about the property, and he says that he's on this property as a gazlan, that's enough to create that it should be considered a mecha. The other Rishonim that say, no, you have to say both. The Sefer Toldos Eliezer asks that how are we ever to say tefillah or tilim speak so strongly and powerfully about a Kodesh Baruch Hu when we are so far from there? So he answers that the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, our Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch Chosheh Mishpat, Siman Kuf Mem Vav Sif Dalet, say that if somebody enters into somebody else's property, the owner has to say, Plani Gazlanahu, the Nokat Arab Gazlanasai. So he explains that as long as we could declare that we are under the influence of the Yetzer Hara, but we have no power against him, but we're declaring that we recognize that the Yetzer Hara is what is in our way, by making a declaration of recognition that we recognize it's the Yetzer Hara is in our way, we're making a mecha, that we're not satisfied with that. And by making mecha that we're not satisfied with that, we're under the right track. And he also has to continue saying, Ulamacha Tavana Lebedina, and I'm going to take this person to a dentira for the fact that he's on my property. Then and only then have a mecha is considered a proper mecha. So we learned here that just saying Pliny Gazlan is certainly enough, is inadequate. What is going to be halacha if he didn't say these last words, ulamacha tovana lebedin, I'm going to take him to the Torah? The opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel, quoted by the Rashbam, if you don't conclude the words that I'm going to take him to the Torah, the mecha is not valid. The reason is, without mentioning that I'm intending to take it in the Torah, it doesn't show that I am truly, strongly protesting his presence on my property. And since it doesn't show that in such a strong fashion, that's why he says that it's not going to be a valid mecha. The Rebbeinu Yoina goes back to a concept that we've learned many times. We've learned in this parak that mecha shloi b'fonof, a mecha that's not stated in front of the person, is still a valid mecha. Because as we've learned so many times, chavra islay, the news will travel. So says the Rebbeinu Yoina, the only time the news of the mecha will travel is when it's said in a strong fashion. When it's said that I'm going to take it to the Torah. That kind of a mecha is going to travel. If it's not said in such a strong language, it's not going to be considered a strong enough mecha that we can rely, it's going to travel to the ears of the machzik. The Yad Ramah says that this piece of Gemara began by teaching us that just saying Pliny Gazlin is not enough of a mecha. Because all, as we explained, it represents is that this person says that I'm a dishonest person. It doesn't necessarily represent that he's making a proper mecha. So he continues saying that why did the Gemara have to even say it? To teach us that is not enough. Just like the Gemara is telling us what is not enough, but the Gemara means to tell us what is required. And therefore, he says, following the wording of the Gemara, what the Gemara clearly is indicating is that you have to have the entire statement. However, the Rashbam quotes the opinion of Rav Yaakov by Yakar, and the Rashbam agrees with that, and he says that as long as the person said, Pliny Gazlin, Yoshe B'Kaka Shali, even though he didn't say the word that I'm going to take him the entire, it's still going to be a valid mecha. Of course, the question then is, why did the owner, why did the Gemara have to add those words? So he says that the Gemara is just saying, the Gemara is saying that the person is saying, and I intend to do something about it. But even without saying that I'm going to do something about it, the halacha is, it's considered a valid mecha. Tosfos disagrees. Continues the Gemara. So if the owner made a mecha, but the way he said the mecha was amrlei temrlei, he said to the people in front of whom he made the mecha, he said, "Don't tell him that I'm about this mecha. My, what is going to be the halacha? Do we say that under those circumstances the person is not going to hear? And since he's not going to hear, he's not going to know to watch his shtar, and therefore it's not considered a mecha? Or at the end of the day, he's going to ultimately hear, and he should have watched the shtar. Amar Zvid, hach kamer lo temerlei. If he clearly told the people in front of him who said the mecha, don't tell him, obviously he has no way of finding out about the mecha, and it's not considered a valid mecha. Papa meledei lo temerlei. What he meant to say was, don't tell the person on the property, don't tell him directly what's happening here. However, lachrina emrelei, you're allowed to say it over to other people. And once they're going to say this over to other people, once it's going to be repeated to other people, we know there's a rule, there's a klal, the chavr chavr islay, the chavr chavr islay, the news will travel. Amalei, what happens, continues the Gemara, if the Edom in front of whom the mecha was said will say to the person who made the machah, lo yaminalei, we heard your machah, but we're not going to repeat it. What's the halacha? Amrezvid, hakamrelei lo yaminalei. They said that we're not going to repeat it. And the fact that they said that we're not going to repeat it proves that it won't be, the machzik will not become aware what's going on here. Rapapama, what they meant to say was, l'didei lo yaminalei, that we won't repeat it to this person, to the person on the property. But they didn't say we're not going to tell anybody else. We will tell other people. And once other people hear about it, and that's how he'll find out. So the Sukkah Stavit asks, isn't this the same machloikus twice? Why was it necessary for the Gemara to teach us the same machloikus twice? Because he explains that the Rav Zvid is teaching us that we would think that maybe only when it's the person who's making the machah that doesn't want the news to travel, that it's not a valid machah. But if the person who's making the machah is making the machah in a fashion that is a good machah, and the fact that just the Edom said that they're not going to repeat it should not be enough of a reason that it should not be considered a valid machah, teaches us the Gemara that says the Sukkah Stavit, that even in this case, it is the opinion of Rav Zvid that it's not considered a valid machah, for we need to be concerned that the news will not travel to the person who has to hear about it. Here, we're learning about not repeating things to other people. The Chshukei Chemen has a discussion about taping somebody without his knowledge. And he says that doing so represents many yisurim. First of all, there's an issue of a haftal rach kamaicha. You would not want somebody to do that to you, you should not do to him what you wouldn't want done to you. Another point is that the Gemara Masech the Yuma says, if you tell something to someone else with the clear instruction that I don't want you to repeat this to anyone else, say without the instruction, as long as I didn't tell you you could repeat it, you should not repeat it. And the Gemara says, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave direct permission to Moshe Rabbeinu to repeat this. But if he didn't give permission, you're not allowed to say it. So certainly, if you're taping him surreptitiously, it's asur. There's also an issue of Geneva Stas, that the person doesn't realize that he's being taped, and the halacha is, and therefore, because he doesn't know he's being taped, it's Geneva Stas to tape him. Furthermore, the halacha is that you're not allowed to look, just like you're not allowed to look at somebody else's letter, open up somebody else's letter without permission. This is similar. What's going to be the halacha, however, where I need to tape the person because I know that this person knows information that could be of help to me. And that's why I'm taping him to help myself. What will be the halacha then? So there, he says that the Gemara says that Ovid Inishtine Lanafshe, that if it's a situation where it's for your benefit, then you have to do what you have to do for yourself. And in fact, he says that the Chelke Leiv says under certain circumstances, you're allowed to open up look at somebody else's letter if it's for your if you need it for your own benefit. He says, but then he says, sometimes people come to a shir and they hear the shir and they tape the shir without the maggid shir knowing that the shir is being taped. So based on what we're learning now, is something like that permissible? So he wants to suggest that somebody who's giving a shir and is trying to teach Torah, he's anxious that people should learn Torah. Included in being anxious that people should learn Torah, included in that is that if a person will tape the shir, and then he'll have an opportunity
to review the shir. So certainly that's considered something that the Magid shir wants. And it's an expectation that we could assume, that's a fair expectation. And therefore he says you could do it without even telling him. Continues the Gemara. Amalahu, if the person who's making the mechah said, I don't want anything about this mechah to be spread. What's going to be a locha? Is that a mechah? Am Rav Zvid. The locha says Rav Zvid. Hakamar, since he was very clear that it said it, typically shoot up, since he was so very explicit that he doesn't want them to speak about this to anyone, since he said very clearly that he doesn't want them to speak to anyone about this, the halacha is that it's not going to be a mechah, because certainly it won't. The person who has to hear doesn't want them to hear about it. And I saw there's a machloikus achroinim. What happens if the people come and anyway tell the person who is on the property, we were told not to tell you, but we're telling you? Is that considered that he knows or not? So the Tzai says, the Gemara says it's not a mechah, even if he does become aware of it. The Shach seems to disagree. Amalei, if the Edim tell the person who made the mechah, we want you to know the lemafkinen shuka. They are saying on their own that we're not going to tell anybody. So as the Rashbam points out, in the previous line of Gemara, it was the Marakama who made this statement. In that case, the Gemara says it's not considered a valid mechah. But what will be the halacha if the Edom were the ones that said it? So Rapapa says, Hakamrile, the fact that they clearly indicated the Leimafkin and Shuta, that we're not going to repeat this, it's not a mechah. Hunabre Yeshuama, Kol Milsa, to Leimrile the Inish, a person who is not obligated not to reveal it. He took it on his own not to reveal it, but it's not something that he's obligated to do. Amr v'lavate, he won't pay attention. And even though he had said that he's not going to repeat it, we could be confident that he will repeat it ultimately, and therefore it's considered a mechah. Amr Nachman, mechah shlo b'fanav, a subject that we've discussed previously, the halacha is that the mechah does not have to be done in front of the machzik. Because as we learned, Chavra Islay. And even in a case, explains the Rashbam, yes, the Gemara assumes that under normal circumstances, Chavra the Chavra Islay, and the news will travel. But let's say it did not travel. And the person who was machzik said, I never heard the mechah. It doesn't make a difference. Once the halacha establishes that mechah shloi b'fanav loy have a mechah, it doesn't make a difference if he ultimately heard or not. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Amr, we learned in a Mishnah, Amr B'Yehuda, Lo Amr Shalashonim, the reason that Chazakah was established for three years, Ella, Kadesh Yehei Besfamya, because if the person, the Marakama, is all the way in Spain, V'Yachzik Shana, so we have to have that the person was on the field for a year, and people will come and tell the person in Spain, the owner, V'Yachzik Shana, it'll take him a year to tell him that the person is on the field, and then it takes the owner a year to come home and make his mechah. But ask the Gemara, Isa Kedatach, and we're going to say mechah shlo b'fanav mechah, that you don't have to actually make the mechah in front of that person. So lamali lamesi, why do we need that the person should travel all the way back from Spain? Leis of hachsam aduchtav alimchei, let him make the mechah where he is, answers the Gemara, Hasam, that even though mechah shlo b'fanav says the Gemara is a mechah, Hasam eitz tayve kamashmalan. The Chazal, Rabbi Yehuda, is giving us good advice. The Nais of Nishko Araperi, he'll come himself and he'll make the mechah, and if he's going to just rely that the person will hear about the mechah, it's going to be difficult for him to get back the payrus that this person ate from the property. If he wants to make sure to get back everything, that's a proof. That best way is coming yourself. Says the Gemara, Midmasulei Rava Rav Nachman. The fact that Rava asked on Rav Nachman that Mechah Shlebefanov is, how do you say Mechah Shlebefanov Lo have a Mechah? Mechah the Lo Sfirlei. The Mechah Shlebefanov have a Mechah. It's obvious that he himself does not agree to the concept of Mechah Shlebefanov have a Mechah. And that's why he's asking the question, how do you say so? Ask the Gemara, but we learned on Daf Lamed Chesam Beis the previous year that Rava taught us the Mechah Shlebefanov have a Mechah. So why is Rava questioning anyone who says differently? Answers the Gemara, Bas the Shomer of Nachman. Originally, Rava held that Mechah Shlebefanov lo have a Mechah. But after he heard that Rav Nachman taught that Mechah Shlebefanov have a Mechah, Sover he accepted it. Ashkenah Rav Yosef Rav Chanina l'talmida de Rav Yochanan. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina met the talmida Rav Yochanan and Amalahu, and he asked them, Mi Amar Rav Yochanan Mechah B'kama? Did Rav Yochanan ever teach you in front of how many people a Mechah has to be made? Says the Gemara, Rav Chi Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Mechah B'finishnayim. A Mechah has to be done in front of two people. But the Aruch HaShulchan, and we'll speak about this a little more later, says that even though it has to have two people, and we know whenever we speak about two people, you need to have Edom, says the Aruch HaShulchan, here all the halakhas of Edom would not apply. And you don't have to have Edom Ksherim. Any two people, women, will also be will be people in front of whom we can make the Mechah. But of course, it cannot be a Cherishot of a cotton, because they're not considered B'nai Das. Avu Amar Rav Yochanan, Mechah B'Shloisha, B'Shloisha, the Mechah has to be done in front of three people. Suggest the Gemara. Lema, but the Rabbi Rav Huna Kamifki. The Machloikas is around what Rabbi Rav Huna taught us. Don Rabbi Rav Huna, Kamilsa Dibs Amar Bapit Tlosa, anything that's said in front of three people, less by Mishim Lish Nabisha, there is no Lashon Hara, because it's going to be publicized. So Mandama Bifnei Shnayim, the one that holds you can make the Mechah in front of two people, Leslie the Rabbi Rav Huna, does not agree with Rabbi Rav Huna, and he says that even in front of two people, it will become public. Umanda Omar Bifnei Shloisha, the opinion that says that it has to be done in front of three people, Islay the Rabbi Rav Huna, only then will it be considered a valid halacha. That so now, of course, this Gemara needs a lot of understanding. Here, the Gemara is saying that if you say it in front of three people, it's not a problem of lashon hara. That, of course, is difficult to understand. Why would it be permissible to say something that's lashon hara? We know you're not allowed to say lashon hara. So why should it be permissible if you say it in front of many people? So Rashbam explains what it means to say, what the Gemara means to say when it says "Kol Milsavus Amr B'nei Apa" is not regarding the person who originally said it. The person who said it is not allowed to say it to any audience, whether there's three people, less than three people. The question here is, it's speaking about three people who heard what he said. And one of these people who heard what he said repeats the disparaging remarks that he heard. Even though normally repeating disparaging remarks to the party about whom it was spoken is considered rechilus, it's a way that it creates enmity between people. Rava teaches that if the remarks were originally said in the presence of three people, repeating them is not rechilus, because the Gemara assumes, Rabbi Rav Huna says, that I assume that he'll hear about it anyway. The Rambam explains, it's not speaking about the person who said the Lashon Hara, because you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara in front of three people, but somebody who repeats it to others, it's not going to be considered that he said Lashon Hara, because this is going to be public knowledge anyway. However, the Rambam
attaches two conditions. One is that you're only allowed to repeat this only in casual conversation, not with the malicious intent. If you're doing it to spread bad things about him, you're not allowed to say it. Also, he says that not allowed, the people who heard it are not allowed to believe the Lashon Hara. They're only allowed to believe it and repeat it as possibly true. Moreover, says the Chafetz Chaim, if one of the three people who heard what was said is the kind of person who's a tzaddik, he's the kind of person that's not going to repeat what he heard, then we can't assume that this is going to become public knowledge. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, the entire basis of the Rambam was because he was assuming that this is going to become public knowledge. But if it's not said in front of three people, then we can't assume that it's going to become, if it's not said in front of people who are going to repeat it, then it's not going to become Lashon Hara. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that the Gemara, Masechet Erechin, Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, says that there's something known as Avak Lashon Hara. For example, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to say that the ovens in somebody's home are constantly burning, because it could be construed in the wrong way. It could be construed as something positive. The oven's always burning because he always has guests. The ovens are always burning because you can get fire if you need. But it could be construed that these people are always eating, that that's what they do all the time. Says Tosfos, the Rabbi Rav Hana is not speaking about Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara can't be said to three people, it can't be repeated. We're speaking about Avak Lashon Hara, that if somebody makes this type of a statement, which is considered Avak Lashon Hara, in the presence of three people, we can assume that he didn't have a derogatory intent, because he knows that what he's saying is probably going to be repeated, and therefore it's not considered Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim says that according to Tosfos' interpretation, there's never a heter, it's never permitted to repeat Lashon Hara, only by Avak Lashon Hara may there be such a heter. Rabbeinu Yonah has a different approach. His approach to the Gemara is that we're speaking about a person who did something wrong, and that there's a mitzvah in this situation to publicize what the person did wrong. It's most connected to our Gemara. He's on somebody else's property with Geneva. The halacha is that, so you want to make a protest, and you want to let the world know what he's doing wrong. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, what our Gemara is teaching us is that when you're doing that and you're making the protest, you should be careful to make the protest only in front of three people. If you're going to make the protest in front of less than three people, it's going to look like you're just saying Lashon Hara. By going out of the way, interesting pshat, by going out of the way to say Lashon Hara, to say it in front of many people, it shows that what you're trying to accomplish is that you're trying to accomplish making a mechor, and your goal is not to say Lashon Hara, and therefore it's permitted. Another pshat that some Rishonim suggest is that we're speaking about a person speaking derogatorily about himself. And the halacha is that if somebody said something negative about himself, the Gemara is teaching us that if what he said negatively about himself, he said in front of many people, then it's not going to be considered Lashon Hara. The Sefer Ber Maim Chaim says that the Pasuk says by Yaakov Inuvi Yishmas Divrei B'nei Lovin Lamer. So explains the Ber Maim Chaim that the Pasuk adds the words lamer. They dafka specifically wanted that Yaakov Avinu should hear what's going on.
since they made it a point, very much in line with what we're learning in the Gemara now, that if you say it to three people, very similar to what Rabbeinu Yonah said, because that is your goal, that you want the person whom you said it about to be to hear, less by Moshe Moshe, because you have a goal here. You want the person to hear about it. The Chofetz Chaim, as he brings down this long discussion and the different opinions that we've mentioned of the Rishonim, he says Nascha L'Mashu Schalnu Nesayim B'Kitzal Halacha. The Chofetz Chaim says, let's just wrap up this halacha, summarize. Ki yoytz medevreinu, the menadin osel saper lashon hara v'chilus, I feel avek lashon hara v'chilus, hecha the minkel g'nai, you're not allowed to say lashon hara v'chilus, or even avek lashon hara, where you have a derogatory intent, I feel b'apa t'losa, in front of three people. V'af sh'yedei shu emes, even if you know it's true. V'od l'kabel, even to believe it, also because that lashon hara saying in front of three people doesn't make it mutter. The shayla of Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas Chelik Tes Simon Shin Nun Gimel discusses a situation if somebody was at a din Torah and he lost the din Torah. Are we allowed to publicize that this person lost the din Torah? And the basis of his question is that a din Torah obviously is something that's done somewhat publicly, the dayanim, and there are the litigants, and there are edim, and there are others there. So is that something that could be repeated? So he goes back to what we've been discussing throughout our Shia now, and he says that even when we speak about Lashon Hara, he says what we're learning here is that Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to say something with a derogatory intent, even if it's public. You're not allowed to believe it, says the Chofetz Chaim. You're not allowed to repeat it. Only when there's a positive need to repeat it, like our Gemara, where you have to make a mechal. In any other circumstance, saying it or repeating it would be considered Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, the Gemara wanted to say, that the question that we're discussing in front of how many people a mechal has to be made is that Shaila. If Lashon Hara, about three people, says the Gemara, Loi, the Kol Ama Isla D'Rabba Rav Huna, everybody agrees that for something to become considered becoming public, you have to have three people. Everybody agrees with that. V'hoch v'alkam afgi, mandam afnei shnayim, the opinion that says that making the mechah in front of two people is enough, k'sova mechah shloi b'fonov, loi av mechah, and therefore, you don't need to have more than two people that to make into a valid mechah. And therefore, you want the news to travel. How can you be guaranteed that the news will travel if you said it in front of three people? Ibai Seima, another way of understanding the machlokes, is the kulam mechah shlo b'fonav ha-mechah. Everybody, as we've been learning, is going to agree that it's valid in mechal. So what's the machlokes? The opinion that says that making the mechal in front of two people is enough. What the halacha requires is edus, and edus we know is always two people. Mandam mefnei shloisha, one that says that in front of three people, kesover geluyah milsabinan. We need to make it public. In order to make it public, you have to have three people. So now we have a question. According to the Man D'Omer that says, that we just learned, this opinion, that says that the reason you have to have two people is because you need edus, and edus has to be done, is always two people. So suggests the Chasam Sofer, if you're going to have edus, then all of the halacha of edus will be applicable. What do I mean when I say all of the halachas of edus will be applicable? They have to be two kosher edim. But it seems that the opinion of Dorach HaShulchan
as I said before, is that even if we're going to learn that it's considered Eidus, it doesn't have all of the halacha of Eidus. And any people that will publicize it will be considered enough. The Tosfos Rid says that the halacha, everybody agrees that only in front of three people is something really publicized. So if that's the case, why does the mandamin that says two is enough? Could we go back? The reality is that he's been on this field. And the fact that he's been on this field for 3 years gives him certain strength. And since it gives him certain strength, that's why two is enough. There is also a question, according to the mandamin that says you have to have three. How do we understand, and we're learning now that the basis of this opinion is because that's how it becomes public. So it doesn't mean that you have to have any three, because three people will make it public, or is it that you have to have certain types of people that can make it public? For example, I saw that the Paiskim discuss, if you made a mechal in front of three people who are not Jewish, will it be considered a valid mechal? And the Shailos HaTshuvos, Shoil v'Nishol, Chelek Zayin Simen Mem, says that making a mechal in front of three nachrim will not be considered a mechal. Moreover, he says that the Gemara Masechta Kedushin teaches us that somebody who is appointed as a parnas as a tzibur, if somebody is appointed in a position of leadership in the community, the halacha is that he's not allowed to do melacha, he's not allowed to work in front of three people. So the question is, because it become public and it's inappropriate that this person, that it's not the covet of the tzibur, it's not the covet of this individual, that he's working in a public setting. So he says that's only if he works in front of three Jews. But if he works in front of three nachrim, there would be no problem. Says the Gemara, Gidl b'menyumei havelim chiyoslim chuyei. Gidl b'menyumei had a situation where he needed to make a mechal. Ashkechinu rafun l'chi b'rav l'chilki b'tovah, davayasvi o'mocha kamayu. He was sitting and making a mechal in front of them. L'shana hadaslim chuyei. He made a mechal against the person who was on his property. Shana, after a year, hadaslim chuyei. He came again to make a mechal, because it was his opinion, that you have to make a mechal of front every year. Amalei, to which they told him, lo tzrichei. You don't have to make the mechal every year. Hachem Rav, kiven shemicha shana rishayna, once you made a mechal during the first year, shuv ein tzarech l'memchas, you don't have to make the mechal every year. And in fact, the Chafetz Chaim explains, why did he think that he has to make the mechal every year? Because he knew that he made the mechal that in front of these great Talmid Chachamim, Huna and Chi Barav. And he was concerned that they are people who are very careful about speaking Lashon Hara, and they won't be repeating the mechal. And since they won't be repeating the mechal, he was concerned that he needed to make the mechal again. But what did they tell him? That indeed one may not speak Lashon Hara. But if he didn't, if you say a mechal, which is what the halacha tells you to do and allows you to do, then it's not considered Lashon Hara. And the people who heard it will and should repeat it. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of this discussion. Amlei Chibur Rav. Chibur Rav told him, it was he that said it, but not the others. But even though we're learning you don't have to make the mechal every year, but at the end of every 3 years, you have to make the mechal again. We should never have a circumstance that 3 years passed without having made a mechal. Says the Gemara, Tarbei Rabbi Yochanan, why do you have to do so? V'chi gazlin yesh lechazaka. Once the first mechal was made,
So what he's saying is that the person who's on this property is a gazlan. Somebody who is a gazlan cannot achieve a chazakah. So if this person is on the property three years, so once he was established from the first mechad that he's a gazlan, why does it have to be repaid? So says the Gemara, Ella kazan sakadatach. What he meant to say is kigazlan. This person is not definitely a gazlan. We don't know for sure, but he's like a gazlan, and therefore yesh lechazaka. That's why he can have chazaka. In other words, the way the Rishonim explain, what is the reason? As we've been learning throughout our parak, chazaka works. The reason a chazaka it works is because the person says, I didn't assume that I have to continue watching my shtar. But when can a person say, I didn't think that I could have to continue watching my shtar, and that's why I don't have it anymore? That's when he has no reason to believe that he has to be continuing to watch a shtar. But if something came up that leads him to believe that he should have to watch a shtar, then he doesn't have that excuse anymore. That's exactly what the Gemara means to say. That this person, the Gemara is saying, once there was a protest issued, the fact that there was a protest issued is an indication that this person should be holding on to the shtar. And why does he have to continue making the mecha? But says the Gemara, Amar Rava, the halacha is that tzarech limchos b'chol soif kasholosh v'sholosh. The halacha is that you have to make a new mecha every three years. And the Rashbam explains, because once the person sees that so many years have passed without you making mecha, he's not going to hold on to the shtar anymore. The Rebbeinu Yoina has a different explanation. The fact that I haven't said anything for such a long time, the person who made the mecha originally hasn't said anything anymore, the person takes that to mean that he's retracted from wanting to go after me. And therefore, he doesn't watch the shtar anymore. Therefore he has a chazaka. Tani bar kapara, irur. If the owner made, the original owner, the marakama, protested, v'chaza ira, and then he makes another mecha after 3 years from the first one, v'chaza v'ira, says the mar, im machmas tana rishona ira, every time he said something, he said the same point. This is my property, whatever his claim was. Ein lechazaka. That prevents a chazaka from happening. But im lav. But if the claim was not a valid, was not the same claim throughout, then and this person was on the property for 3 years, yesh lechazaka. Then he will have a chazaka because the fact that he changed his claim. The fact that he changed his claim shows that he's not a serious person. Why do you keep on changing your story? The fact that he changed his story, then the halacha is his mecha becomes invalid. And the Rashbam takes this a step further. He says not only in a case where he made a mecha, and then he waited 3 years and he made a mecha again, but the new mecha was a different story than the first one. But even if he made a mecha within 3 years, but the two mechas that he made within the 3 years were not the same, it's not a valid mecha. The Rosh disagrees. He says that if he made two mechas that weren't consistent, but they were within 3 years, then we discount the second mecha. And the fact that the two mechas are inconsistent do not invalidate the mecha.